All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 7 of Gaslighting the Warfighter with our host, Rosie Torres, and myself, Tim Jensen. Well, it's good to be back. It has been 30 days since our last episode. One of the great episodes that was. If you haven't watched it, go back and you can listen. And you can listen to all of our episodes on any app store, download for any podcast. Gaslighting the Warfighter. Rosie, welcome back. How's it going?
Hey, Tim. Good. Just, you know, glad to be back.
Yeah.
Glad to be back and talk some truth.
Absolutely. And there's been a lot of truth or slivers sort of the truth, you know, being communicated over the last 30 days. As I understand, you were up on Capitol Hill with John Stewart and a few of our friends and representatives and colleagues, you know, expressing the importance of presumption and the things that we're trying to get accomplished here at Gruntstyle and Burn Pits 360, as well as many other organizations that have been fighting this fight for quite some time. So let's start there. Let's talk a little bit about you know, the time on Capitol Hill. Start from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've talked about this being a bipartisan issue, right? It's not, shouldn't be Democratic, Republican, either one. So trying to really engage the Republican Senate to sit down and have those honest conversations with us. You know that since, you know, we met 2 years ago and about the time that we asked John and John to join us, COVID happened.
Yeah.
So we were up against the fact that we couldn't walk the halls of Congress with these people that have been impacted and sick and dying. And it was just a big obstacle for us. So this was the first time we actually had access to the halls of Congress.
Right.
Where we could go down there and sit down with these senators and really just, you know, lay it on the table and say, like, where are you on this issue? And if you're not on the table with us, you know, to go forward, why not? Right. So, you know, it was pretty good to be there, but it was a lot of mixed emotions because, you know, we've done a lot of work in a decade.
Yeah.
And so, you know, finally joining forces with other organizations and walking the halls and then actually just having two veterans there who have been deeply impacted by the issue. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And speaking the truth on that. I mean, Isaiah James was on and you heard his speech, right?
Powerful.
I mean, he moved he shook it up and I said, you know, just preach it, Isaiah, say the truth. And I'm glad that we were able to have that opportunity to take the veterans and not the VSOs to speak on their behalf, but they themselves speak on their own behalf.
Sure.
On behalf of their brothers and sisters that they're burying left and right here. It was a different experience, I'll have to say, but it was good to be able to walk the halls. And you know, when John Stewart shows up to Washington, people make time for you.
Yeah, that is very true.
So we're grateful that he was with us. But that's just the beginning, right? So it's sort of like we started 2 years ago, but we're starting from the beginning because we're just now having access to the buildings.
Yeah, and that's the tough part, you know. And John Feel obviously brought some thunder.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, John Feel. He always does.
Put the hammer down, yeah.
Yes, he does. I think one of the takeaways that I got from that and watching some of the fallout across national news networks, you know, the big ones, I don't know. I don't know how you feel about this one, but I kind of got insulted, right?
Yeah.
I was insulted when they started to parade around Wes and all these individuals that, you know, have been dying. And, you know, we've been asking for years now.
Right.
Get involved. You have the opportunity to present this in front of all of the American people, mm-hmm. right? And they've kicked that can, you know, several times, and like, we're not going to give you a platform to talk, or if we do, it's going to be very limited in scope and what we want you to say,
right?
You know, and now they're out there, you know, and they're taking our brothers and sisters' names and they're, you know, putting it up there for not the right reasons, right? Mm-hmm. And I just don't find that, you know, the way that the national news media is presenting this is very authentic. And it doesn't, I think it brings information to people, right? And I think that's important. But I guess the way that it's been, you know, communicated or, you know, seeing behind the scenes and how it's all cloak and dagger and bullshit.
Right.
It's all bullshit.
It is. It's bullshit.
And that's where I'm getting insulted.
And I think that they quoted me on PBS. Rosie Torres said it's bullshit. So, you know, why tap dance around it? I mean, look, this is why these platforms, like the platform that you've and Grenstall have granted this community of war fighters and their families and survivors, because the media is so quick to tailor it to a specific, right?
Yeah.
Like storyline, right? Like they'll attach it to homelessness or suicide or something else, right? Yeah. Or whatever the case may be, just as important. But they start to pick and take apart things. And again, which is why I'm really glad that Kevin and Isaiah joined us, because it wasn't the VSO speaking for that population of people that are actually dying.
Right.
I mean, we went into some meetings and Kevin Hensley said, I'm not going to live to be 60. And they said, thank you for your service. And we all just kind of walked out like, did you just hear what he told you? Like, he told you he's going to die.
Right. Why was nobody, when that response given, why didn't that guy get a punch in the jaw?
Yeah, well, it was a girl.
Or a girl, guy, anybody with that response, right?
No, right. We all just kind of, you know, walked out. And again, it was, I think, Isaiah's first time there. I'm not sure. And Kevin. So it was new to them. We're all just kind of taking it in. I was super emotional because that walking the halls brings back almost 11 years of walking the halls and then remembering those we've lost along the way. Right. So it was something different for the VSOs than it was for us, because for us, it was like those people aren't there walking the halls anymore. And then we had just gotten word that, well, of course, Wes was still alive at the time. He was put on hospice. Dr. Kate Thomas has been put on hospice, and so has Will Thompson.
Right.
So, you know, again, lots of emotions going that day, but this is why, again, it's so important for us to equip people with the truth and not have it watered down with the bullshit that's happening.
Well, let's talk about some more bullshit, shall we? Right? Because I think, I think the show is aptly named, right? Gaslighting the Warfighter, because there is so much gaslighting that is happening. And you know, we've got something to discuss here. We got Mark Jackson's going to be joining us, a 7-year Army veteran with an incredible story about K2 in Uzbekistan, right? Mm-hmm. And the gaslighting that he's experiencing in the medical health that he's going through right now. Unbelievable. So, like, the Biden administration came out a couple weeks ago. I'm sorry, November 11th to be very specific, on Veterans Day, saying, we're going to produce a fact sheet. This is what the White House is doing. The Biden administration announces actions to address the health effects of military exposure and what they're doing, which, Rosie, at the end of the day, is what?
It's a call. I mean, Mark and I were talking about this. It's a call center in 2022 for health clinicians and providers and for veterans can possibly speak to someone. I don't know who the someone is. They mentioned something about 60 providers that have a background in I don't know. It was just a lot of wishy-washy information that if I sit down and think, I have sat down and thought about this. And like I said, Mark and I were discussing it. What does this mean for the veterans? Absolutely nothing.
Right.
How does it help the sick and dying? It does not. So at the end of it, Tim, you know, they've created a framework of BS, right? A bureaucracy, so that they can say they did something when they have not. So again, part of the fact sheet states that people may be able to be referred to a doctor that has a background in, I think, what did they call them, Mark, the doctors? Just like the environmental, right? Environmental doctors. Yeah. I think that's what it said. Just like they have environmental coordinators who have no background in environmental anything.
Right.
They are eligibility clerks that do registration and determine your priority group.
Right.
Okay. We did our own investigating, called around a few years ago and asked the environmental coordinators a series of questions regarding toxic exposure. And they were like, we don't know what you're talking about. And we don't know anything about a burn pit registry. So we're interested in doing the same. The VA better hold on to their pants because we're going to ask these questions. What qualifies them as environmental coordinators? Apparently there's only 60. Who's going to have access to those 60 and how will they get to see those 60? You're going to fly them around the country and place them in 60 different facilities? Right. Mm-hmm. And what does that process look like for someone that calls?
Right.
Right. It's just ridiculous, right, and it's criminal,
yes,
right? It's criminal to deny people the right to life. And we've been saying this for years. Will Thompson's dying at home in front of his two teenage children. And so is Dr. Kate Thomas. She has a little boy. How does this number, this framework that they've presented help any of them? It doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. Right. And it's just more data, more data, more data. Right. You know, somebody, I'm sitting here reading this. You know, some of the things that they're very excited about is, you know, collecting more data from the National Academy of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine, that includes analysis of data from other sources, from the VA, right? So mm-hmm. obviously the VA has been collecting this data. That's just that they say that they don't have enough data, but they're going to be collecting resources. Wrap your mind around that one, guys. And then, you know, creating a call center. You know, and they're pretty proud about the recent asthma, rhinitis, and sinusitis presumptions that they provided, right? But again, there's, you know, hundreds, thousands, if not tens of thousands, that are dying from cancer.
Yeah, who's dying of sinusitis? Right.
You know, and right? you have a very specific window, 10 years. You know, these conditions. That they're looking at in the data scopes, right? See what else we got here.
I'd like to see these doctors. I'd like to see the VA put their kids around a burn pit for a year.
No, they won't. Yeah, yeah.
And then say we need more data as their son or daughter dies in front of them.
And that's the thing. It's like if I was Beau Biden, would I be proud of my father for what I'm holding in my hand and what their big thing is? I wouldn't be because I'm not proud of it now. And right. I'm a veteran, and you know I've watched my friends die from this. You're a spouse of a veteran. You're watching veterans die left and right everywhere we look.
We were sending some, you know, supplies over to the families and stuff. I mean, it's disgusting, and it gets very emotional for all of us. I'm sure, like as it does for the K2 population of people.
Hey, but you know, they're going to include some notification for people in the TAPS program. So that's great.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And listen, like I'm not, you know, I'm beating up on this because this is not enough. This is crumbs in the grand scheme of it all. Like this is not going to help any veteran that is currently, you know, dying or is just coming into understanding that they have problems.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, it provides nothing. Nothing.
They here's the thing. Like I mentioned to John and John the other day, I'm like, I've sat down with a VA since we went to Congress for the registry. They've invited us to every airborne hazards open burn pit registry symposium they've ever had in Washington. They stopped having them when COVID started. But prior to that, it's been the same conversations. So they sort of took some of the ideas that we've given them and said, let's put this down on paper.
Yeah.
And let's say we did something. But there's been no progress, Tim, for 11 years.
Sure.
The registry came out. That was crap. It serves no scientific purpose. It never will. I'm not discouraging people to register. I mean, register if you want. But the point is, because they don't track mortality, and we've been having the same conversation with the VA. I mean, I'm all about being diplomatic, right? Like, we've sat down with the VA for years.
Yeah.
We go to their symposiums.
Sure.
But we're still not going to sit here and say, that's enough, because it's not.
Right.
They're not living these lives.
In my opinion, until we get 22, 23, 24 of those cancers that have been identified, there's nothing else that we're willing to accept.
Yeah.
That's it. So speaking of some of these cancers, some of these healthcare is situations, definitely want to bring on Mark Jackson. Mark, welcome to the show. 7-year Army veteran, had spent some time in Uzbekistan. You know, tell us what that experience was like. Tell those that out there that have no understanding of what K2 and these open pits, which is much different from a toxic exposure from the burn pit side of things. Now we're talking about radioactive materials and things that are like with a half-life.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me, Tim and Rosie. It's always good to see you. I've been only involved in this space for about 2 years. I kind of stumbled onto it once I was in DC for work when it just so happened that Congress was first hearing about K2. This would have been, I mean, we're talking just a couple of weeks before the pandemic, and found myself on Capitol Hill with a couple of other K2 veterans. And that's kind of how I backed into this. And it's one thing good about the pandemic is I had a whole bunch of time to do nothing but this. But yeah, so like you said, I was active duty Army for about 7.5 years, and deployed after 9/11, like almost everybody else from our generation, to Afghanistan. I also went down to Iraq for a while, but I went from Afghanistan and then very quickly up to what was known as K2 Air Base. It's named after the two nearby cities of Karshi and Khanabad in southern Uzbekistan. Uzbekistan is just north of the northern border of Afghanistan, kind of about maybe 120 miles from Mazar-i-Sharif. So it's very, very strategic location. It was a former Soviet air base, just like most of our bases were in that part of the world. And the Uzbek military was kind enough to let us use a disused part of their base, which also happened to have a bunch of bunkers that had been storing chemical weapons and soil that had been irradiated for the better part of 50 years. The Soviet Union, as it turns out, were not very good stewards of the environment. When we moved in on the site, that was Special Forces used that as a hub during the invasion. When you read about, was it 12 strong, you know, guys on horseback, all of them would have been based out of here. It's literally where the war started and moved south. And then it remained a logistics base until it closed in 2005. So you're talking about a 4.5 year use period, give or take, that began almost exactly 20 years ago today. It's like a month and 20 years ago was when K2 opened. First thing they did was upgrade the facility. And I use that term generously. They put up the SF compound and then, of course, a tent city for all the support, improved the runway, and then built a berm, a protective berm, on the exterior of the base. There was really just a couple of barbed wire fences early on. So engineers went and just pushed all that soil that had all those things in it, irradiation, and that we're aware of, another 450 or so known carcinogens, and pushed them into a 20-foot berm around the camp, and then put the tents below that berm. And of course, filled all the sandbags and went in around those tents with that dirt that went into that berm. Over the course of time, about 17,000 troops that we're aware of from all branches passed through K2. That's certainly not who was actually assigned there. The permanent population was much smaller, measured more in the thousands, of which I was one. I arrived in K2 in July of 2003, spent some time down in Afghanistan, but that was primarily my home until the next year, the middle of the next year. Very quickly, within the first 2 or 3 years, people started getting sick. K2 also had a burn pit, by the way. So we're talking about all the stuff that was at K2. We also had a burn pit. We burned our trash to deny the enemy the use of all that stuff, right? I'm not denying that burn pits served their use, but I don't like being told, just like you and Rosie were talking about, I don't like being told that them lighting all this stuff on fire and having that ash fall on my skin and go on my lungs is somehow not going to affect me, on top of all the other stuff. K2 was special because when you dug down 3 feet, the holes would just fill with a kind of a black goo, a tar-like substance that was just petroleum and you name it, that would just leak into the soil. So that's what the place generally smelled like, was, you know, diesel fuel like all bases, but then like that older kind of bit underground contaminant stuff. Think of like an underground storage tank that's ruptured and just laid under the ground for 50 years, 60 years, because that's how old the oldest part of those bases were. But within a couple of years, people were dying of pretty rare, mostly brain cancers at first, and then a lot of GI tract cancers, and then a whole bunch of endocrine system disorders, in particular thyroid disease in men, which is one of the things that I started struggling with when I was about 26. And I don't want to minimize what I have to deal with, but I don't have cancer, right? We have a whole bunch of people, not just from K2, but obviously with the burn, toxic exposures generally, through the 20 years of those war, that are dead. All of us on this podcast are here because we're tired of burying our friends. And if I do have to bury my friends, government should not deny that they're the reason that they're dying. Mm-hmm. And I'd do all this again, Tim. And Rosie's heard me say this. I would go back. I would go back knowing exactly what I know now, but they need to come back and take care of us. They need to acknowledge that our sacrifices are still ongoing. Absolutely. I thought I was alone in this. I mean, Rosie's been out pounding the pavement for over a decade. I just thought this was kind of my lot in life. You know, even as I watched friends die of Lou Gehrig's disease and glioblastoma, I should know zero people have had those diseases. I've known five with ALS and at least twice that many with brain cancer. Whereas those are so rare, you really in your lifetime shouldn't know anybody that has those diseases. But we do, at least they do count. We're talking about presumption, right? So ALS is now a service-connected presumptive disease. So the people I do know have had it have had top-notch care. That's, so when we're talking about presumptive conditioning, which by the way is the only standard I'm willing to accept. I could talk about that White House memo all day, but you guys did a good job calling it bullshit, and I don't think I could call it anything better. But with all the folks that are getting sick, just acknowledge that these cancers are being caused by the service. This isn't a coincidence. We're not just some random population of people that are coming up with these rare disorders pretty consistently. I mean, it's been 20 years now. So the VA likes to say, and this is when that the last time they were testifying on this was sometime in it's like late last year. They sent a doctor from the VA, and her quote was that they were aware of six people from K2 that had reported any illnesses, and that they still needed good science. They do love talking about their good science. And I like science too. I'm married to a scientist. I get it. Science is a process, but there's other processes too. Diseases are processes, and they don't pump the brakes for anybody. It just keeps getting worse. I have a good job, so I have really good health insurance. A lot of people don't. What makes K2 even more interesting is that Congress, when they were writing the 38 CFR, which defines where we sent people for OEF, Operation Enduring Freedom, they forgot to put Uzbekistan on that list. So due to that omission for 20 years, all the way up until last year, someone that only went to K2, good luck. Yeah. It's not in the drop-down menu. Yeah, can't help.
And I think that's an important thing to call out, right? Because, you know, we're talking about the grand scope here, right? That has affected, you know, a majority of garrison and, you know, big army, you know, great standard Marines. But when we get into the conversation of special forces and you know, these organizations that are tip of the spear, right? They're going into countries, they're having to produce these burn pits and the likes. They're going into far more austere environments than standard infantry, right? And those are not listed, and those people are being left to, you know, wither and die, and, you know, have no dignity on their deathbed because the government will not acknowledge it, right, for security reasons.
Right, and I think that's probably what happened with K2. It was not necessarily a secret base, but we sure didn't advertise it,
right.
especially not early on. And it was because it was never really advertised. You know, you could tell everybody knows where Bagram is. Plus, it had kind of that, I think it was like the second largest burn pit outside. I think Balad in Iraq might have been bigger. I having seen both, it's hard to say which one is worse. I mean, I think, and with respect to John Stewart and John Feel, I think the right call is they did this for the 9/11 first responders. And if Ground Zero wasn't a burn pit, literally, I don't know what's not. All the stuff that was in the burn pits at 9/11 was exactly what they were burning at K2 and at every other U.S. base. It was all the same toxins. You're naming those cancers, right? That's exactly how you do this. Look, we know for a fact that these things are caused by these specific toxins that were in the burn pits at 9/11. Same burn pits at Bagram and every other base in Afghanistan, Iraq. And I don't understand where the disconnect is. You know, this White House, Bo Biden died of glioblastoma. We none of us should know anybody that's dying of glioblastoma. So the current president's son dies of this hyper rare cancer. He was in Iraq when I was in Iraq.
Right.
Breathing the same air from that same burn pit. And you just get this self-aggrandizing, slick, inside-the-beltway bullshit political wonk speak that doesn't do anything. All they're saying, because what was the headline on Veterans Day? Biden administration gives a shit about veterans.
Right.
That was the headline. And then no analysis. Absolutely no analysis. When you go in there, you go line by line on this stuff, and they're not doing anything.
Right.
They're saying, we're planning on thinking about doing all this. And then when we're done thinking about doing all those things, and then the call center. Yeah, I LOL'd on that one, Rosie. Like, what are you talking
about? I mean, it's insulting, right? I mean, like you said.
Yeah. And I normally don't do this because I think journalism is mostly dead in our country. We have what is the remnants of, you know, that was something great, and we are now in yellow journalism. And, you know, Oh, with that being said, you know, Rosie and I did an incredible piece that could have been far more impactful on News Nation. Got cut down, truncated. All of the real hard hitting message that the people need to be hearing was removed from that conversation. I look across the landscape and all the other areas that these news organizations have the opportunity to make a conversation and bring this into the homes of every American, because this is a household conversation. You know, I think the number is like 1 in 6 know somebody that had served in Iraq and Afghanistan, right? This is a household conversation. You know, I think Jake Tapper is doing a great job of leading those conversations and really kind of pull the onion back. But that's only one individual,
yeah,
right? You know, and he can only do so much because, again, their editors and the producers and all the, you know, the people that sit in higher places don't want to have this honest conversation because they don't want to put, for whatever political reasons there are, they don't want to put this in the front and center and address the simple fact that, you know, 3.5 million Americans volunteered at the end of the day. Volunteered. We're not drafted. There's no conscription. There is none of that. We all volunteered to go defend our country after the falling of the two towers in New York City. And we went to Afghanistan to do that. And we went to Iraq to do that. Now, I'm not here to argue about, you know, the reasons why. That's you know, as a war fighter, that is not my choice to be, you know, that's politicians. Right, we go do what the politicians can't solve. But at the end of the day, it's the same politicians that are sending these young men and women, our children, off to these countries to die for whatever reasons, and they're coming back and having to die in their home country after they've served the conflict. That is unacceptable.
Begging
for help.
Begging
for help, right? And then we sit here and scratch our head and wondering why there's so many veteran suicides.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because there's a lot of veterans that are financially bankrupt. They keep going back and saying it's psychosomatic. You're just making this up. You just want that attention. You just want to be a victim.
Yeah.
In this community. Bullshit.
Or you're weak, right?
Yeah. Or you're just a, you know, you're weak body. You know, you're nothing in the military. You're nothing in the civilian world. You know, fuck all that noise.
Yeah, yeah. I had so many veterans reach out over the years that were just basically like in tears because, you know, they're vomiting blood and, you know, coughing up pieces of stuff. And they're being labeled as just wanting to get out of the military. And they're like, why would we want to get out? Like, I'm literally coughing up pieces of my lungs and they're calling me a liar, yeah. You know. So I just want to be clear that this... The whole responsibility lies both with DOD and VA, and DOD has been left off the hook so many times. Right?
Oh my God, yes.
You have reservists, you have active duty, then you have all the veterans.
Let's talk about a little bit further on the DOD side, Mike. I'm sure, Mark, I'm sure you have some opinions on this. Is, you know, the DOD came out with you know, several times saying that we will no longer use burn pits. We're going to send incinerators out to every one of these forward deployed areas. What happened to those incinerators?
I've looked at the DODI, the DOD instruction that came out from the congressional mandate to get rid of burn pits, because that was in the NDAA, I believe, in 2018.
Correct.
It was, you know, what a line item in there. I think it might have been number 313 that year. I'd have to look that up, but I've looked at it a bunch, so I know it exists. But when you look at the DODI, it says, yep, we're getting rid of them. This is where, like, they had 5 existing, you know, as of 2019 or something like that. But then at the bottom, both the law and their DOD instruction says, but all of this is waivable based on the situation on the ground. Like, we're still allowing ourselves to do burn pits.
It's at the commander's intent, right? Or discretion. Right.
Like, I get it, you know, and here's the thing. If Congress or the VA or the president or somebody would just give us the presumption of service connection for being exposed to all this shit, guess what? Have all the burn pits you want. I don't want to see people get sick, but if they do get sick, at least you're going to take care of them.
That's right.
That's all this is about. To me, the bare minimum. Right. I mean, if you're going to send us to war, which we all do, we will all go back. That is exactly what we signed up to do. Right. That's our job. You're right. I'm not questioning where we sent. Do I have opinions in retrospect? Yeah, a couple. But at the end of the day, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about following the orders from the officers and the politicians that are above us in that hierarchy. And the exchange on that is supposed to be, yep, we're going to go do the sacrifice now. We're also going to keep sacrificing later. And you promised to take care of us.
Yeah. But all we get is the platitudes of, oh, thank you for your service.
But it's going to be on us. Right. And it's going to be on us, Tim, like after going to Washington, this is all going to now lay in our hands.
Right.
Where we're going to have to mobilize all of these communities to call.
Right.
And then, and then also shame people that are just not on board, who are just, like our congressman in Corpus is just too concerned about who's going to defraud the government. I'm like, who's going to fake lung disease and cancer, idiot?
Right.
Like who? No right. one's going to walk around.
Name one.
Trying to come back from the country they right. finished defending just to defraud them. Right. right. And I think John Stewart said it best when he said to the senators when we were in D.C., why aren't you acknowledging toxic exposure like wounds of war? This is an IED blast going off in the body a decade later.
Sure.
Right. So why?
Right. And, you know, I think one of the other things I thought was absolutely fantastic, and this is why, you know, I think I connected with John very quickly, uh-huh. was, you know, holding the military industrial complex responsible. Yeah. Right. You know, if it's a question about funding, you know, this healthcare initiative, then tax all the people that are making the weapons of war. The yeah. same individuals that we are burning their trash and their garbage and all that, those batteries and everything are going into those burn pits that they're making.
Yep.
Right? Why don't we hold them responsible? Why don't we tax them a 10% VIG, if you will, on every manufacturer, Boeing, you know, the list is long. Just name them all. You know, put a tax on all of them. Well, nobody wants to play that game because now we're talking about money that's coming out of the war machine's pocketbook, right? And if yeah. we go back and think about what Smedley Butler, you know, was talking about, that war is a racket, he's absolutely 100% true. Harry Truman warned us of this. And here we are to where it is now controlling everything that we are doing. And you know, who's holding the bag at the end of the day? Well, it's the veterans that are dying mm-hmm. that has gone off to do the things that the United States government asked them to do. And, you know, but again, like, but these organizations, this war machine has gotten so smart that they've embedded themselves into this VSO, all these VSO groups, and nobody wants to have that conversation because
I'm glad you're bringing that up.
Now we can't pull the money away.
Thank you, Mark. Will you have something to say about that?
So two takeaways from your conversation. Sorry to interject, but I'm tired of nodding my head. The defrauding is an interesting argument, right? I actually investigate fraud for a living. That's what's my day job when I'm not doing advocacy, right? And I actually work with the VAOIG. They have people that investigate people who are defrauding. They have a whole agency within the agency to investigate only people that are defrauding the VA. And it's not vanishingly rare, but it's rare enough. And I have a hard time. So their answer is we have to have the good science so we can only give the people who deserve the benefits the benefits. Well, the way I look at it, if 98% of the people that get those presumptions of service connection are doing the right thing and 2% aren't, well, then that's why we have investigators go and investigate that something that's already a federal crime, that there's statutes and investigators out there to help interdict and to get them convicted and put them in prison. That's what we do with fraud. And a much bigger question is Kellogg Brown and Root, Halliburton, all those. I mean, call them by name.
Yep.
That's right. That's who was running those burn pits or yep. their subsidiaries or whatever they changed their name to after they're doing that. No,
right.
I if not a tax, guess what? I look at government contracts all day, every day. And you look in there, they build in their profit. How about we build out something else?
Yeah.
Maybe we swipe away something. Instead of 15% profits, you get 12% profits and the 3%. Of these hundreds of billions of dollars in contracts, maybe we just take a sliver of that. Because Rosie's right, there's coalition. Team coalition is something that she and I both have some affiliation with. Depends because, like you nailed, a lot of these defense contractors provide things for some of these larger VSOs. I'm not a big VSO.
Yeah.
We got like 5,000 people. You know, and we can barely help K2 veterans at all. Rosie's organization is a bit more robust, but when you're talking about VFW, an American Legion. I think what I have found the more I worked with them, and I really don't give a shit what they think about me saying this, yeah, is they're ready to compromise. Yeah. And they pat you on the head and they say, this is just how it works here in Washington. And
look at the leadership of the IUPA. I mean, they're playing both sides of the coin here, right?
Yeah.
look at the Wounded Warrior Project. Like, come on. Like, I don't have any allegiance to any of those groups, and they can all kiss my ass, because at the end of the day, it's my brothers and sisters that are dying. And I'm tired of watching it. I'm tired of the politics that are being played back and forth. Like, we're stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I got stupid written on my head. Like, I'm some Acme character that I'm just supposed to sit and take this.
I mean, no. I think you guys saw in the speeches in D.C. that day the difference between what the VSOs were, you know, presenting and what Isaiah and Kevin presented.
Yeah.
That was truth and then something watered down because they have mortgages to pay, I guess. I don't know what the reason is. But, I told them, you know, we talked about it. I said, look, you guys, no one controls the content we put out.
Yeah.
We don't have anybody to answer to.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So we're going to give the raw, real shit about.
They're going to take my benefits away?
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. It's like Leroy says, like, we have nothing more to lose. We've lost so much already. And so have all these other families, right?
Right.
So, you know, in talking with John and John recently, what we have come to the conclusion is that, you know, I'd like to see, and Tim, I think you and I talked about this offline the other day, is, you know, like these toxic exposure town halls across America to talk about things like K2 and burn pits and all the injustices that are happening to the warfighter community and their families, right? I mean, I talked to Suzanne the other day, Will's wife. She has to get ready for the process. She's began the process of bringing him home to go into that other part of how this ends.
The last chapter.
The last chapter, right.
Yeah. Imagine that. Planning your death.
Yeah.
Planning your death because your government will not give you the dignity of saying, we fucked up.
And you know what? Not acknowledging this as an instrumentality of war.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
It's the same as a bullet. It's just a slow-moving bullet.
Yeah.
And it's just sliding through our bodies, bouncing back and forth for 20 years, killing some of us, just like every gunshot's not going to kill everybody, but it's going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
And just like... not everybody got sick from burn pits or from radiation at K2. You know, I know plenty of people that spent as much time or more than I did overseas, and they're fine.
Yeah.
And God bless them. But you know what? A lot of people aren't fine. And even if one person isn't fine and is not being taken care of by the VA and the government that sent them there, then it's betrayal. And I think that's the word we need to use is betrayal. They have betrayed us. The DOD's betrayed us. The VA has betrayed us.
Yep.
Congress has betrayed us. I'm not going to thank you for doing your job. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to thank you for coming up with some bullshit on Veterans Day telling me what you're thinking you're going to start doing. I'm not going to thank you for introducing a bill.
Our response should be moving forward. When any politician says thank you for our service, we should say, well, I did my job. Now you do yours.
Yep. I think that was one of our first shirts, right? Honor your oath. You know, we honored ours. Right? It was like, do your job. Right. They did theirs.
Yep.
Why don't, you know? And then you have all these veterans in Congress. Where the hell are they? Where are they?
Yeah, I mean, there's K2 veterans that have survived cancer from K2 that have introduced legislation that's gone nowhere. Former Secretary of State Chris Miller was at K2.
Yeah.
He actually was pretty instrumental, but you know. I've had some success, very rapid success. You know, we got K2, we got all the documents declassified, not all of them, but a lot of them. And that's how we know what was there, because they knew from November of 2001 forward, they sent down a health team and did the Geiger counters and the soil samples. And that's, I'm not making up the number of 400 carcinogens. I got them from the DOD after we got the stuff to be declassified. So we did get a little itty bitty piece of the NDA last year. It was a horribly watered down version of several bills that were there just to address K2. We did get added to the VA's registry and therefore the CFR. So Uzbekistan is now officially recognized. And if you can go into the burn pit registry, if you only went to K2, which Rosie, me and you are on the same page with the burn pit registry.
Yeah.
Congress did mandate an epidemiological study in the omnibus bill that came out last December. And then President Trump's second to last executive order as he was leaving the White House on January 20th specifically addressed K2. That was on a personal level, that was kind of cool because I was working directly with the then Secretary of Defense and like the White House. And, you know, when they're like, all right, you can help write this executive order. And I Googled executive order because I didn't know what they're supposed to look like.
Fantastic.
But there's more work to be done, right?
Of course there's more work to be done. You know, the one big moment, the only thing that's come out of any of this stuff, at least for K2, is I got a call from Johns Hopkins University 2 weeks ago, right before Veterans Day. And they have been mandated now by Congress and by that executive order that's still in effect to conduct an 18-month longitudinal epidemiological study. And they're doing it not with a call center. They're doing it with their applied physics lab, with physicians and epidemiologists and people that environmental scientists, people that deal with toxic exposures. Right. They're going to come and look at our population. We're small. Like I said, it's less than 17,000 people, but Mark, we were first.
Mark, I'm gonna just jump in there really quickly.
Yeah, man.
Currently, the ILER, which you're referencing, is not scheduled to be fully operating until 2023.
Yeah, the Eiler.
Right.
Yeah. You know how long they've been working on Eiler?
The fuck out of here.
Like 11, maybe more than 11 years.
I noticed in the White House announcement, too, that they're talking about accelerating that. And it's like, what? How? I mean, I've only been doing this for 2 years and they've been telling me, don't worry, it's coming online soon. Okay. Yeah. And then what? It's another drop down menu.
We requested the record through the VA. For a veteran that passed away through the Eiler database, can't find him.
Yeah.
Not non-existent.
So I think the big point here, and I think you nailed it, Mark, and it's this, is the government knew. The government knew from the beginning. The VA has known from the very beginning. They can sit here and tell us, we don't have the data. We don't know what's going on, this, that, and the other. Well, clearly unclassified documents show that you were there. You've taken all the soil samples. You have all the information. Just like the VA had all the information, start from 2001, starting with Tora Tora and all of the bullshit happening in Afghanistan that came all the way through Iraq. They have the information.
Yeah.
They are gaslighting us. They're classifying it. They're keeping it out of the public view to protect, I don't know who, but it is not to protect us, the instruments that went and fought these wars.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I don't get it. It can't be about money, right? Yeah, it's expensive. The bill came back. It's going to be like, I think the CBO score was like $400 billion over 20 years. Okay. I just saw Congress passed two bills that are worth about $3 trillion just for the next four.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're that first speech that we gave back in April, Rosie, that's what I talked about. It's just too bad that veterans aren't considered infrastructure. Maybe they could have squeezed us in there
as a
rounding error and try and take care
of it. Very true. Yeah. Yep.
Well, that's what we're here to do, my friend. We're here to continue to bring information to everybody. I said Tora Tora. I should have meant Bora Bora. Sorry.
That's a good movie, though.
Yeah. I got World War II stuck in my head for some reason. But, that's what we're here to do, is continue to bring information to all of you, all of our listeners, with the effort of sharing that with you. Get that in front of other people, because, again, it's like 1 in 6. Everybody in this country, 1 in 6 has had come sort of contact with an individual that served in Iraq, Afghanistan, or any of the other nation states, 21 that we have identified that exist with burn pits and other things that veterans have been exposed to. So with gaslighting the warfighter, we bring these conversations front and center. We continue to bring incredible individuals that have had their own experiences. Mark, thank you so much for sharing your story. Is there a place that people can go and learn more about what you're doing with K2 in Uzbekistan?
They can. We have a clearinghouse website. It's strongholdfreedomfoundation.org. And if you went through K2, we got it on there. We got all the declassified documents. We got links to all the VA stuff that's slowly coming up. And we've obviously hitched our wagon onto the burn pits horse. That was actually Rosie's gentle urging. It took about a year of her convincing me that we got to join the big team. But yeah, going it alone is no way to do that. But yeah, if you've been to K2, strongholdfreedomfoundation.org. And, there's a phone number for me on there. It's actually my cell phone. So people actually just go to the website and call me. You will get a real live person on the phone if you need something, because we can point you in the right direction.
There you go. Well, Mark, I appreciate it. Thank you for everything that you're doing for our community and bringing truth to power, man. That's really what it's all about.
Thanks for giving me a platform, man. I could talk all day about this. You can probably tell.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Rosie, another incredible episode. Thank you so much for joining today. And we'll see you again in our next episode, episode 8 of Gaslighting Warfighter in December. So check us out and be sure to go back and listen to all the previous podcasts of Gaslighting Warfighter. You can find them on any podcast channel, downloadable. And we'll see you guys in about 30 days. Until then, keep up the fight. Reach out to your representatives. Let them know that we are not taking this shit no more. Get involved. Dan Crenshaw, get your shit together. We'll see you soon.